We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Well, this morning and this month, I'm going to be talking about faith, one of my favorite things to talk about. This morning, I'll be talking about a subject of faith that I've actually never shared on. If you've been here for a little while, you know I'd love to talk about faith, and I talk about it quite often. But this morning, I'm going to share with you a subject that I'm calling Bridges of Faith. And the first time that I heard that term expressed was when I went to Dr. Gene Lingerfelt's church, Faith Christian Center in Arlington, Texas, and he would talk about bridges of faith. A bridge of faith isn't the same thing as a mountain of faith, or a mountain that is in the way of your faith. A mountain, you know, because generally that's one of the things, and I'm sure I'll be talking about this month, is mountains that get in our way, that Jesus said that if we have faith and we believe, if we speak to the mountain, it can be moved and be thrown into the sea. Amen? So there's nothing that can stop us. If our faith is powerful enough at the name of Jesus to move a mountain, I would say that there really isn't much, if anything. In fact, there is nothing that can stand in our way or stop us. Amen? And so we'll be getting into mountain-moving faith this month, but today I want to talk to you about bridges of faith. A bridge of faith is it's really a decision. It's something. It's a point that you come to where you decide, I'm going to take this area of my life, and I'm going to cross over in faith, and I'm not going to go back. That I'm reaching this point. It's like a resolution of your faith. And so I want to give, of course, a few examples of that, and then we'll read some scripture. But this month we'll be talking about faith, which I'm doing for your sake, but more so I'm doing for my sake. We're going to buy a $350,000 church building, and so how many of you know that requires some faith? And I've thought to myself, all right, we're going in on this building, and that's going to require all of our faith to be exercised and to believe God for everything that goes with purchasing a building and maintaining a building. And so I've been, you know what, Lord, I need to increase my faith. And how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. So I want to build my faith up and exercise my faith in the Word of God. And so I thought, well, if I'm going that direction, I might as well include all of you on it. It seems like every spring we come to this subject anyway. I don't know how that always times to be, but it seems like every spring I start talking about faith, which inevitably leads us into confession at some point. And so don't be surprised if we follow up our faith series with confession series. But maybe it won't be in that exact order. I don't want to say what the Lord's going to lead us to do. But today, talking about the bridge of faith. A bridge of faith is a place of decision. You reach a point where you have to choose whether you're going to cross to the other side or stay where you've always been. These bridges come in the form of challenges. A challenge generally comes with a reward, perhaps even prize money. But just because there is a reward doesn't mean that everybody will accept the challenge, right? So if I don't watch sports on TV. I grew up loved playing sports. I love playing sports, but I don't watch it. So I don't know. Who's a good boxer? Or maybe boxing isn't the thing anymore. Maybe it's MMA. Who's a good fighter? Rocky, great. You got you know just as much about it as I do. All right, so for the sake of it, we're going to fight Rocky, okay? Or somebody's going to fight Rocky, and there's a $200,000 reward for prize money for whoever beats Rocky. Has everyone here seen the movies? Or at least you know of them. You know Rocky was pretty good, right? You know he was pretty strong, and your chances aren't probably very good, at least. I don't you know, I'm not trying to judge everyone here today, but I don't really see anyone that, including myself, you know, that would really be able to go up against Rocky. So you have to admit that's a big challenge. So just because there's a big reward doesn't mean that everybody crosses the bridge in faith to get the reward. You would think, though, that like if we just said, hey, there's a $200,000 reward if you accept this challenge, you would just think, yeah, hey, who wouldn't use it? Who wouldn't want an extra $200,000? Let's cross into that challenge and let's get that reward. But then when you hear what's on the other side and that you're going up against Rocky with in the ring with the gloves on, you might start thinking like, I don't know if I really got what it takes to... to go up against them. And so it takes faith, it takes resolution, it takes preparing, it takes commitment, it takes effort, it takes training in order to cross certain bridges of faith. And we all come to different bridges of faith in our life where when we decide to go across, we know, hey, if I make this decision, I'm putting it all on the line. You're going into the ring with Rocky, you're putting it all on the line, right? So some people see the obstacles and, of course, the uncertainty that goes with that and would rather stay where they are. In our walk with God in this life, we'll come to many such bridges, not the one about Rocky, but just bridges of faith in general. But we come to many such bridges, and depending on what we do, our faith will either grow to new heights or it will stay stagnant. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And just like feeding your natural body, if all you do is ever feed it and feed it and feed it, but never exercise it, you have all the energy and all the potential coming in, but unless you challenge and put that energy and potential to use and to forward momentum, it actually becomes a hindrance to you. And so just, you meet some people, because you could almost get confused. Well, if hearing and hearing comes by the Word of God, what about somebody that knows the Bible backwards and forwards, but it doesn't seem like they have any faith at all? In fact, they're more often full of doubt than not. You see, hearing the Word of God is one part of the equation. Putting action to the Word of God, putting action to your faith is the other part. We have to get the Word so we know what we can believe, and that's what enables faith to work. That's the food that comes in. But then taking action, corresponding action to what we believe, is where faith begins to work. So once we've crossed to the other side, most of the time, you look back and you wonder, why did we wait so long? And I'm going to give a few examples of what I mean by that. In the natural, there's several bridges that we face. One of them is marriage. Now, this bridge is kind of unique. This bridge is, it's like a covered bridge. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say a covered bridge? Like one of those bridges with like a barn built on top of it? So when you're going through the bridge, and actually if you were just kind of not really paying attention to where you're going, and all of a sudden you just see you're just washing the road, and all of a sudden you look up and you're inside of a building, you might not even know that you're on a bridge. And so the bridge of marriage is a bridge, but some people don't know they're on a bridge because there's so much love and emotion and feelings and desires that are in the mix that you don't really realize that it's a bridge until you get over to the other side. Once you get to the other side of that bridge and you've tied the knot and you've gone on your honeymoon and you've come home and it's a year later, well, you realize that there were certain things that you should have paid attention to prior to crossing that bridge. Some people cross that bridge unknowingly, and then when they realize that they'd crossed to the other side, they think to themselves, what did I do? You know, men, you cross the other side and you realize, well, I have to provide for my wife now, and she's expensive. And ladies, you know, you cross the other side of the bridge and you realize, now I have to follow my husband's lead and I'm not sure he knows where he's going. And so you cross that bridge and now all of a sudden you're looking back and then both of you realize you no longer can do and say whatever you want. And if you do, the consequences are much worse than when you were single. When you were single, hey, ultimately, as long as you're happy with yourself at the end of the day, you're okay. But when you're married, if I don't know, for those of you that are married, if you've ever experienced this, but you and your spouse, you get into an argument and you go to bed and you want to sleep and all of a sudden you can't sleep because there's tension. You see, there's consequences to it, and now we're sharing that responsibility, the consequences with somebody else, and so you feel the obligation, well, I need to resolve this, and that means when I want to sleep, I have to stay up and talk, and I don't want to stay up and talk, but I have to stay up and talk.
Right.
I'm not talking out of experience, of course. We've never argued, right, baby?
Right, baby.
Amen. And then you come to another bridge in life, which is having a child, and then having more children. And, you know, when I was single, I pretty much thought that that bridge, as well as the marriage bridge, are the same thing. Because it just seemed like that's, you know, what you do. You get married, and then you have children. That's what married people do. They have kids. And it didn't really seem to me that this was too much of a separate decision, because as a kid, you see, most married couples have kids, so it just seemed like, well, if they're getting married, it's because they want to have kids. But then I realized once we got married that that is another big bridge of faith that I have to cross. There's a lot of things that go with it. Having children, from the moment of inception onward, is bliss, right? I mean, from the moment Mommy wakes up in that first trimester and maybe pukes her guts out or, you know, is having sleeping problems because she has a bowling ball attached to her stomach. And then in the labor and delivery process, that's the real sign that, you know, this is just great. And so, you know, you realize, well, what did we do? I have to learn how to wipe somebody else's behind. And then there's so many things that go with it, with once you have the child. I mean, that's just leading up to having the child. And now I have this child, I have to spend time with discipline. There's my time commitment. There's all these extra expenses that I never thought that. It's one thing when you spend money on something that you want to have. It's another thing when you're spending money because you have to have it. Like a car seat, like a stroller, like a crib, clothes, diapers, food, and then all the stuff they break. So it's like you realize that there's a bunch of additional things that I'm now having to pay for. And so with a list like that of all these things, it's amazing that anybody that has a child says, let's have another one.
Right.
Or but you ask anybody that's had kids, and you know they've now their kids are grown up and they've gone out of the house. And let me say anybody that's raised good kids, because I've met people like grandmoms that are just like totally against having children, and you just wonder like how did you raise your children? Because you know the moms that I know are you know we un. And parents, I should say, we understand there's challenges that come with having a kid, but ultimately, that child is your greatest reward.
Yeah.
Amen? Like, I mean, you know, most people, when by the time they're done having kids and their kids are growing up, they're like, I would never have kids. Most people are like, if I had to do it all over again, I would have more. Even though it comes with all that stuff, all those expenses, all the extra time, the extra effort, but there is a reward, you see, with every bridge of faith that we cross, and this is a bridge of faith because when you decide to get married, you're taking on all of that extra responsibility, you're taking that extra time, you're having to spend time communicating, and you're saying, well, Lord, I need your help in this. If you don't have the Lord helping you in your marriage, you're probably headed for trouble. And that's why when we would never just marry anybody, but when we go to the altar, it's holy matrimony, right? It's because we're not just we could just go to the courthouse and get a piece of paper that says that we're married, but we come together in a Christian ceremony because we want God in the middle of our marriage, because God being in the middle of our marriage is what holds us together. So it's a bridge of faith that we cross that we're saying, this is my resolution, Lord. This is my resolution to you and to my spouse that we're going to stay together, that we're working with each other, that we have each other's best in mind. And I need your help with this, Lord, in order for us to stay together. And then with children, it's a bridge of faith. Lord, I need you to help me. I need extra grace, double dose of grace, Lord Jesus. Patience, the fruit of the Spirit, come on. I need some more of that. And so we realize that this is something that we're going to need the Lord's help with. And if we want to go forward with it, it's a big step that we're going to take in our life. But it's also a commitment. It's a resolution. This day and age, people just throw stuff away. You look at abortion, and people don't think it's a commitment to have children. They just say, well, if I don't want it, I don't have to have it. That shouldn't be. But when you're pregnant and you have that baby, it's a big commitment. Now I'm a parent. I have extra responsibility. Lord, I need your help to help me walk through this. Amen? Buying a home is a bridge of faith to cross. You know, and that's a bridge that I haven't crossed yet, but I am standing on the bridge, and so to say. You know, I mean, we're working on it. And, you know, just being in the process of looking at houses, you know, the financial stuff, the banking, getting everything involved. I mean, there's a lot to it. And God bless New York State because it needs it. Once you start looking at houses and you see the taxes, you're like, Lord, now I understand why we need your prosperity to live in New York State. Because without it, I mean, how can people pay the taxes? But the Lord, he'll provide. You know, I mean, the Lord paid taxes, Jesus, when he was here, right? Peter, he came to him and asked about the tax, and he said, pay to Caesar what's Caesar's. And they had the provision to do it. But so, you know, renting is easy. You know, you got one or two bills a month and a maintenance guy. Yeah. No sweat there. You know, house is burning down. Just wanted to let you know your house is burning down. Where are you going to move me? You know, I mean, it's easy when you're renting because it's not necessarily your responsibility. But home buying, or anybody that's been through that process of home buying, knows that it's a bridge of faith, that it's going to take a whole nother level of commitment than renting does. Because now this is your property, you're taking care of it, it's your responsibility. You know, renting is like marriage without children. And then owning a house is like marriage after you have children. You realize, you know, I mean, like, you're still living in a place. Both times you're still married after you have kids, but you're now married with so much extra responsibilities. And that's the way I see, renting versus owning. Once you own that house, you have all this extra that you need. You have to find the house, the time it takes to find the house, the effort that goes into making that house yours. If you have to remodel, and then the upkeep of that house, and all the extra, now different utilities, and all those things that go in it. And you realize, I need to have the Lord in this, if I want to make it, to believe God for it. So you have to exercise your faith more to own a home versus renting. You know, when a couple years ago, we're renting an apartment, and I left for work. And my wife calls me and she says, hey, just wanted to let you know I went downstairs and the downstairs is flooded. So I was like, oh, that doesn't sound good. So I asked the boss if I can drive home. I came home and sure enough, the whole kitchen was flooded and it was now flooding into the living room. The carpet was getting soaked and all of this. I wasn't concerned. It wasn't my problem to fix. All I had to do was call the maintenance guy and say, hey, just so you know, our apartment's flooding. They send someone over. Oh, your hot water heater went bad. Well, I don't have to pay for that. They just take the water heater out, send somebody to clean the mess, clean the carpets, and it's not my problem. But when you go to cross a bridge of faith, you realize that when you're going from renting into owning a home, you're like, well, this is a whole new territory. Because next time, if there is a next time, hopefully there isn't, but if that hot water heater would have gone, what do I do? Now it's on me. I'm going to have to pay for it, or I'm going to have to take care of it myself. There's going to be a mess to clean. Do I hire somebody to clean it? Do I clean it? It's a whole other challenge. So when we come to these bridges in life where we're taking on more, we know that we're going to need the Lord's help, the Lord's wisdom, and that we're going to have to exercise our faith if we want to continue to live in victory. We make a mistake when we too quickly just enter into something because everybody else is doing it. When you come to a bridge of faith, you should take a moment and think to yourself, what is it exactly that I have to do in my life to commit to staying on the other side? You know, that's why 2008 and 2009, we had a foreclosure crisis in our country with the housing because people didn't actually commit. They were just, and I mean, lending institutions were part of the blame because they were giving subprime loans, loans that nobody should have ever gotten, no one qualified for, and people were just happy to take them. But then it caused this big crisis because those people that they were giving the money to buy the house, they weren't actually committed. You know, the reason that a bank wants us to put 20% down on this building is because they want to know that you got skin in the game. They want to know you're committed, and that when you have to fork up 20% of a several hundred thousand dollar building, you're not just gonna like, hey, well, that's not my problem. You are committed to that, and you're like, hey, this is my building, don't mess. This is ours, you know, you're gonna take good care of it, right? And so it takes commitment, it takes resolve. When you come to one of these decisions where your life is going to the next level, a relationship, a house, a new career, a job, whatever it is, take a moment and say, do I have what it takes that when I cross this bridge, my faith is strong enough and I'm resolved enough that nothing is going to take me out of that land? Because if you're not, when some storm, when some crisis, when situation comes that you're not really prepared for or you're not ready to face, it'll easily take you out. But if we cross in faith, with our faith resolved that the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my provider, the Lord will take care of me, then no matter what I face, we will overcome. Amen? So those are examples of natural bridges. But what about spiritual bridges? The first spiritual bridge that every Christian faces is salvation. Do I cross the bridge of salvation? And even though it's so boldly and often proclaimed the reward of what's on the other side of that bridge of faith, not everyone crosses. Maybe not right away, or maybe not at all. It's like, the challenge. You see, there's the great prize over here. But what's it going to take to stay on the other side? What am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to change? And people come to this point of decision. They see salvation on the other side. That yes, I will have the promise of a lifelong eternity with our Creator, with our loving Heavenly Father. But in order to do that, in order to cross that bridge, I might have to... They look at people on the other side and they might see that they had to make sacrifices, that maybe relationships were lost, that maybe people treated them differently and that they don't get to live the same way. They don't get to enjoy the sinful lifestyle. They don't get to enjoy all the things that I can do without a conscience. And so they're looking at the other side of that bridge and think there's so much that I have to commit in order to really cross that bridge of salvation. And because people that make a flippant decision to make Jesus the Lord of their life are the ones that will quickest, when things get tough, when persecution comes, when times aren't going exactly the way you want and you're facing a storm, they're the quickest ones to turn their back on the gospel. So it's something that when we give an altar call, when we present the gospel to somebody, when we invite someone to receive Jesus, they should take it very seriously. It's not just a matter of, well, I said a prayer and now I can just go on living the way I want. No, when you become a Christian, when you make Jesus Lord of your life, that requires resolve, so that no matter what storm of life, no matter what hell brings against me, I will withstand. Amen. And I will move forward. Amen. And I will conquer and I will overcome. But it's a bridge of faith. You can't go into it flippantly. You know, that's why for me, when I was 13 and I made that decision to walk to the altar and to tell Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've been doing and the way I've been living, and I want to live for you. And it took every ounce of courage that I had in my 13-year-old body to stand up and walk by my friends and family, terrified of what everyone was thinking. I was like petrified to walk to the altar. You know, everyone's, you know, in your mind, when you walk to the altar, everybody's staring at you, everybody's thinking about it. But in reality, everyone's like, woohoo, they're cheering you on in church, at least if you're in a good church. But when you make that decision, for whatever reason, it's terrifying. But But if you don't go with resolve, if you don't go knowing that I'm making this decision and I don't care what comes against me, I will not go back. When I cross this bridge of faith, I'm staying on the other side. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God is another bridge that we come to. You know, Dr. Gene, and he says something that him and his wife decided a long time ago, and I love it. He says, if he finds something in the Word that the Word says to them that they're not doing, they decided that whatever it is, they're going to do it. Or if they find something in the Word that they are doing that the Word says not to do, they're going to stop doing it. And that's a bridge of faith. When you decide that when this book, when I find something in God's Word that it tells me to do something, if I'm not doing it, then I'm just going to simply obey. That's a big commitment. And it's just as big of a commitment to say that when I find something in here that it tells me to stop doing that, that I'm saying that if it says not to do it, then I'm not going to do it. That's a big commitment. You know, some people at that point would just be like, well, then I'm just not going to read it because then I'm not on the hook for it. Because once you read, I'm not supposed to do this and this and this. Hey, the Bible's taken my fun away. And the Bible says that I'm supposed to do this and this and this. Hey, that doesn't sound easy. You know, find anyone that's living in victory in any realm of life and ask them if it was easy to get there. Whatever is easy in life, whatever is free in life, isn't really worth having. You know, you for the most part, if you go on Craigslist and look up free stuff, it's all just junk, right? If you're driving down the road and you're looking for a restaurant to go to after church today, and you see a restaurant that says, free food, come and get it after 9 o'clock, we're going to have free dinner for anybody in the entire region that wants it, your first thought is probably not, that's gourmet food. Your first thought is like, man, what are they cooking to be able to just give food away? They're not a charitable organization either. I can't imagine that food is that good. Now, when you want good food, you have to do what? Pay for it. You got to pay a good price for it too, right? If you've ever been to a nice steakhouse, you know. A nice cut of steak. It's not cheap. But it's delicious. The reward is worth it. You pay the price, but it is worth it. With the Word of God, we need to come to the point where we believe that the Word is always true, regardless of what you see or experience. And that's a bridge of faith that you have to cross. And it's one that in your mind you have to guard, and in your heart you have to believe it. What happens when what you're seeing and what you're experiencing doesn't line up with what the Word says? Because you'll come to one of those points. And then that's when the resolve matters. The commitment. What about when the Bible says that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory? But now I have a challenge in my finances. I thought the Word says that. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to let your commitment go? Are you going to let your belief in God's Word, your resolve go? Or are you going to stay in faith and believe? And of course, sitting here this Sunday morning in church, being built up in faith, it's easy to say, yeah, I'm going to stay committed. But how many of you know that when you leave here and throughout the week and you face challenges, it's not always an easy thing to stay in faith? But that's why we need to make a firm decision, a resolve that when we cross, when I've come to the point in my life that when my life, what I'm experiencing, doesn't match what I'm seeing in the Word of God, I immediately go to look at my life. I don't go to look at God and say, God, you said this, but you didn't do it. I look at God's Word and I find out where I missed it. Because I know that the Word says that my Father only has good gifts. That God doesn't change. That God has provided healing, that God will take care of my needs. So if I'm not experiencing that, I've crossed the bridge in my mind to know that somewhere on earth is the problem. Whether I need to rebuke the devil and tell him to get his hands off my money or off my family or off my body, whether I need to believe God and operate and exercise my faith more, Whether I need to spend some time in prayer, whether I need to read the Bible, whether I need to praise and worship. I mean, Paul and Silas were in the prison cell, and what did they do? Situations looking bleak. They praised the Lord. They sang songs. They sang hymns. And the jail cell opened up. They weren't sitting there thinking, well, I guess all this faith stuff isn't really real. It doesn't work out like they said it would. But they were sitting in the middle of a prison cell. Prison wasn't as nice as it is today. I'm not saying prison is nice. I've been in prison. It's only for like an hour. I went to visit. But either way, I've been. I know what it's like. Kind of. Not really. But I've watched documentaries, so... he went with me. He knows. He was there. It wasn't nice. What was the food like? Gruel. Sorry. But, sorry, I get all these movie quotes and show quotes that come to my mind when I'm just not going to go there. He's distracting me. He's saying it. I'm not going to say it. Anyway, the Dementors. There was everywhere. All right, I said it. It's from, whatever. It's just from a junk TV show, but it's hilarious. Anyway, so, I mean, but you can imagine, Paul and Silas are in the prison cell and it wasn't pleasant. And they didn't decide to just have a pity party and boo-hoo and complain and decide that God wasn't good. You know what, I know I wrote to the church that God is always good and that he doesn't change, but you know, I'm going to have to write them another letter. You know what, scratch the last letter that I wrote, that was a mistake. Since then, I've experienced prison and I decided that God isn't always good. That's not what they did. They stayed in faith because they had resolved. They crossed the bridge of faith, and they said that my God is good, that no matter what I see, I'm not walking by sight, I'm going to walk by faith, and if I'm seeing a challenge, that means that my God is going to overcome. Amen? Amen. There's a bridge of faith called tithing. 10% of your income. That's what tithe means. And I mean, to anyone that's crossed that bridge, you probably stood there in front of that bridge for a little while before just jumping over to the other side. But I would say, you know, I mean, for me, with a bridge of faith, I'm making a resolve that once I cross over, I'm staying over. And I've seen modern churches say, if you cross over and it doesn't work, you can just cross right back. I've literally seen churches that have said, try tithing for a few months. If it doesn't work, we'll give you your money back. You know, that's like... You know, hey, come to the altar and accept Jesus, and if you don't feel saved, well, we'll just give you, you know, whatever. We'll just tell you it's all a shamble. You know, it's total garbage. You know, you got to cross in your mind that when I cross, and here's the thing. Like I said at the very beginning, when you cross the bridge, even though some bridges are more challenging than others, once you've crossed over, you look back and you're like, man, this is great. I talked about the stuff that goes with having a baby, right? And you would think, why would anybody do that? There's all this challenge that comes with it. But I see my daughter and I say, this is great. I'll do it again. Let's have another one. Baby, what do you think? Yeah. All right. You know, I mean, you realize there's challenge. But then when you cross over and you get the reward, all of a sudden you're like, I'm never going back. For me, with tithing, it's 10%. And I mean, for me, I've been tithing for almost 13 years now. And so, you know, I'm not like my generation. I've had a job since I was 16. Actually, I should say I've had a job since I was 11. My first job, I was cutting grass, and then I did hay, and then I worked on my aunt's farm picking cherries, and I got fired because I hated it. I ate more cherries than I picked. Yeah, it was the worst. And so, but I didn't stay unemployed. I got a different job, you know? So, I mean, so tithing for 13 years, it adds up. 10% after 13 years, that's a lot of money. But I would never go back because I've seen what my God does. He takes my 90% so much further than that extra 10% over all these years would have ever gotten me. The favor of the Lord is worth it. The blessing of the Lord is worth it. I would never go back. Yeah, it's a challenge when you're looking at that bridge thinking, man, do I really want to cross that one? 10%, a commitment for my life, that's a big one. But I promise you, when you cross it and you see the Lord begin to work in your finances and you become blessed and you become prosperous, you never go back. The divine health bridge, believing God for healing when you're sick. You know, when we preach on healing and we teach on healing here at the church, it's easy to believe for it when you're healthy. Amen? Because you're like, oh yeah, I agree with that. You know, healthy, yeah, the Lord wants me healthy. But when you're if you've been in the middle of sickness, after you've already said to yourself, I believe in healing, I believe that God wants me healthy, and I don't accept sickness from the devil, and then the sickness tries to come anyway, well then, that's a challenge against that bridge of faith that you've crossed. And unless you've really resolved yourself to believe in the Word of God and believe that that's God's will for your life, it's a challenge to stay on the other side of that bridge. But you gotta dig into that resolve and commitment and kick the devil in the teeth. You speak the words of life. You tell the devil to take his hands off your body. And that's just believing for yourself. But then when you have children, and now I gotta believe for my children, that's a whole nother bridge to cross. And then believing that God has anointed me to go out and lay hands on the sick. These are, you know, one bridge sometimes leads to more bridges. And that's the bridge of healing. One is like that. Once you believe in healing, now there's all these different avenues. But it requires commitment. Amen? All right. It wouldn't be a sermon if we didn't read the Bible. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Where do we go to when we want to learn about Abraham? Genesis, right? Well, we're going to Romans chapter 4. He's the father of our faith, and Romans chapter 4 tells us all about it. Starting in verse 16, it says, therefore, it is of faith. Let me pick up the Bible. These words are so small. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to the grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Let's just pause there real quick, because this is something that sometimes people get a little bit confused. It doesn't say that, it says that, who's got a different translation that says he calls those things which are not as though they were? Does anyone have that version? What does it say? The bottom of 17.
Who gives life to death and calls those things which do not exist as though they did.
Yep, that's what I got. But if you have a different version, it might say, who calls those things which are not as though they were. See, the thing is there, he's saying that things that are not, he calls them into existence. He doesn't say things that already are not there. You see, because sometimes what we do in faith is, we try to say that things that we're facing, we're not actually facing. You know, if you've ever experienced sickness before, and you say, and then someone, you know, points out, hey, you look and you sound like crap, and, you know, your arm, your finger just fell off. Well, no, it didn't. You know, I'm a man of faith. I'm healthy. You know, and that's calling things that are as though they're not. But that's not what God does. He calls things that are not as if they were. So he calls them into existence. Oh, my finger fell off? Great. Well, the Lord's going to put another one on right now in Jesus' name. You know, see the difference? It's not denying the fact. It's just saying that my God is able and willing and wants to and has given me health. Therefore, if I'm healthy, I'm calling this area of whatever it is that I'm experiencing, healthy. It's not denying reality. And I think sometimes that we think that faith means denying reality. Faith is believing God in a greater reality. It's calling those things that are not as though they were. You look at your bank account and someone asks you, do I have the money? And you know by a fact that you don't have the money. And then what do we do as faith? I have the money. Well, you just lied. You actually don't have the money. Faith says, my God supplies all of my needs, and the money will be there when I need it. Do you see the difference? Faith, it's not that there's less believing, it's just you're being honest with it. It's not like you don't have to come up with a fake story in order to be in faith. You just have to believe in faith in a superior story, which becomes reality. Amen? That's why Hebrews 11:1 says that God, that faith is giving substance to the things hoped for. Those things hoped for aren't there yet, because if you had them, you wouldn't have to hope for them, right? I always say the example. I pick up my Bible. I no longer have to hope that I have a Bible in my hand. I have it. When the Bible says the substance of things hoped for, it implies that I do not have it. So why would I say that I have it? Well, I don't actually have it, but I believe in God's word that says that I do. So by faith, I have it. So there's a difference there. God doesn't lie. Have you ever noticed that God doesn't counterfeit money? Where you're like, I'm believing for finances, and I reach into my wallet, and the Lord just stuck an extra couple $1,000 in there. You know what, maybe you washed your pants with a 20 in it and you pull it out and you're like, oh, look, the Lord blessed me. No, you just forgot that there was 20 in your pants when you washed them. So, but there's a difference. God's not counterfeiting things to you. Amen? Yeah. All right, I got off topic there. I'm on topic there, but it's a rabbit trail. We're coming back to the main path, all right? Who contrary to hope in hope believed, verse 18, who contrary to hope in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, if you don't have it highlighted in your Bible, I mean really all these verses should but be highlighted, but it says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider it. He didn't consider what he was experiencing, right? Right? What was he experiencing? 100-year-old body is what he was experiencing. I don't want to know what that's like. But he knew all too well what that was like. And Sarah was experiencing a 90-year-old womb. And the Lord was telling them, you're a father of many nations. At that point, you would have every reason to question. And so, but it says that he didn't question. It says he did not consider. So what you're experiencing, he didn't say, I'm not 100. And he didn't say, my wife is not 90. But he just didn't consider it. Because he had something greater. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You see, that's faith. He saw the situation. He didn't say this situation doesn't exist, right? He didn't deny that he was 100. He didn't deny that his wife was 90. He didn't deny that they were both past childbearing. But he didn't consider it. In fact, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith. I'm not saying you won't face situations, but when you face a situation, you strengthen yourself in faith, your resolve, your commitment in what God has told you. What had God told Abraham? You're a father of many nations. Well, the reality was, no, I'm not, Lord. Have you ever felt like that before? You said, Lord, that I'm the father of many nations, but I'm not. But he doesn't consider that. Rather, he believed. He strengthened himself in faith. And that's what faith is. Now it is written not for... verse 22. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see what he did? Is he crossed a bridge of faith in his mind that if my God said it, it's true. My God said I'm the father of nations. My God said that through me all the earth will be blessed. My father, said that to me, that through my descendants. Well, we don't have the descendants. But he didn't consider it. Why? Because he crossed the bridge of faith and he was resolved that I don't care what I'm looking at. I don't care what I'm experiencing. My God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. It's done. It's over. You don't have to look at the contrary circumstances and believe in those. You see them, they're there, but you believe in faith that what God has said is true. What he promised, he is faithful to bring to pass. Amen? And that is crossing the bridge of faith. You know, and so I mentioned a few examples that we experience, you know, buying a house, having kids, married. Those are things that probably a lot of us will experience in life. But then there's other experiences, bridges of faith, that maybe just you will cross. Something that's unique to you. Maybe it's the career that God has given you, the calling that God has put on your life, the people that God has called you to impact. There's different things that might be specific just for you. You know, for me, one of those things was starting this church. And when starting the church, it was a big bridge of faith to cross. I was really scared to cross it too. But once I crossed, I made a commitment. God, if you're in this, we're in this. And he kept confirming, I'm in this. So then I realized, well, I better be in this with him. And so we've seen the Lord move. And he's going to continue to move. Amen? You know, leading us to a new church building. I mean, we're believing, you know? I mean, I'm not concerned. My wife, you know, up to going into the contract where we submitted our offer before they had accepted it and or before that, you know, I'm doing the due diligence and the accounting and all that miserable work that goes into getting financing and whatever. It's pretty awful. But, she kept saying, this is our building. I'm like, well, we first got to get, like, the approval. We first got to get all this. But then the second that I finished what I had to do, because here's the thing. We always have to do everything that we can do in the natural. Because some people think that I can just be lazy and that God's going to make up that difference. God doesn't bless laziness. And so before I decided to just say, yeah, God's got it all under control, I knew that I needed to get some stuff done. But once I got that stuff done, I crossed that bridge and I said, that building is ours. When we submitted that offer, there was no longer an if that building is ours. It was just we submitted that. We did everything that we could. Now we're praying and we're believing. Wednesday night we came. One of the most awesome things Wednesday night when we were praying is everyone was just praying for the souls and the harvest. It was like, we weren't talking about like, you know, this building is just so great. Everyone's just like, the harvest, the people that are going to be saved, the lives that are going to be touched, and that's our heart. Yeah. We don't need to build our kingdom. We're building the Lord's kingdom. Yeah. And we're going to see the harvest come in, and lives are going to be touched and changed because of it. And it's not all because of a building, but a building helps, right? Different colored carpet. No pews. It'll help. You know, it's not a requirement, but it helps. You know, 5 functional bathrooms helps. So, so you'll cross bridges of faith in your life, personal, in the natural things that we face, but then we cross spiritual bridges in our life. And when you come to a bridge, take a minute and consider, what's it going to take for me on the other side? What's it going to take for me to stay over there? Count the cost, the Bible says. But determine that when I go over, I'm not getting pushed out. I'm staying in the land that God's called me to. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.